Well, here we are.
It is time, Simba.
If you understand that reference, you might be about the age where we should be working together. It's possible. But it is now one of 3 times a year that I'm accepting clients for my freedom framework, overcoming food sensitivities and increasing energy without unnecessary restriction. My goal for my one-on-one clients is to take them through frameworks and explore tools for achieving 50, 80, 90% of their goals in just a few months and show them how to continue to heal on their own so they don't need me anymore. Honestly, I think we're doing great one-on-one work here, helping women that would otherwise be falling through the cracks, thinking that they're just aging, that they're just moms, that they just, and it may be true that they just have stress, when really those stress hormones and their other core systems just really need some serious support and some serious love to serve them for years to come without symptoms. So if you'd like to clear inflammation, eczema, food sensitivities, or improve energy and brain clarity, I'd love to chat with you. You can book a call with me at kristabigler.com/FSS, kristabigler.com/FSS, and that link will be in the show notes.
We keep the gut at homeostasis. We don't set off an inflammatory response. And if we do have a leaky gut, by binding and removing what was causing that inflammation, you're giving the gut barrier a chance to turn over that new tissue, to contract back together and rebuild a healthy gut.
Stress is the inflammation that robs us of life, energy, and happiness. Our typical solutions for gut health and hormone balance have let a lot of us down. We're over-medicated and underserved. At The Less Stressed Life, we're a community of health-savvy women exploring solutions outside of our traditional Western medicine toolbox and training to raise the bar and change our stories. Each week, our hope is that you leave our sessions inspired to learn, grow, and share these stories to raise the bar in your life and home. All right. Today on The Less Stressed Life, I have McLean Haynes. He's head of nutrition for Proliant Health and Biologics, which is a biopharmaceutical company focusing on utilizing serum antibodies for the use of prescription and dietary supplements for digestive health. So I'm going to keep going in his bio. But first, I was just telling him offline that my real dream job would be the person who hosts How It's Made. So this conversation is a little bit of a how it's made on immunoglobulins, which I have this low-key obsession with immunoglobulins. I hope we're going to be able to get nerdy. And this is the best part when you can go in behind the scenes of who's making the raw materials of the supplements that you're... People always ask me like, oh, what do you recommend for this? Or what brand or what supplement is good? And I always tell people that supplements are as good as the integrity of the brand and the company and the person who's putting it out there. But part of this is the raw materials. So today we're talking raw materials. So he works with serum IgG. So we're going to talk about serum IgGs, specifically the raw material Immunolin. He goes by Mac. He's been helping with formulating new products and all the things in his company. So when he's not doing that, he's doing fun stuff in Iowa, traveling, playing sand volleyball. And he wrote in his notes to make sure we reference him as a microbiome nerd. So I giggled and smiled before I got on the phone with him today because we can have a fun, nerdy conversation, but very approachable. Welcome to the show, Mac.
Krista, thank you for having me on. For all the fun things to do in Iowa, sand volleyball makes up about 2 months of the year. But I do really enjoy it. I enjoy what I do and just helping push the message and the understanding to the audience of what serum IgG is or what serum antibodies do and how they can truly address the underlying cause of a lot of the inflammation within.
Yeah. So one of my favorite tools for sure. And a little backstory to just make things more human. I was at a big dietitian expo, probably at least 4 years ago, because we have to measure all time by, was it more than, was it before 2020 or after 2020? So it's probably at least 4 years ago. And I met some of Mac's colleagues, or maybe they are still colleagues or not.
Yep.
And there's always in business, like companies buying each other. So we can talk about that if it makes sense. But essentially, they were the guys behind Immulin. So Immulin, I'm going to give a little bit of how I perceive this and how I use this in practice. And then let's get into like how this is made. And then we can talk about, or we can go from the perspective of why this is a valuable nutraceutical that I use. So big picture, immunoglobulins, there are a couple ways to get this. And so we can talk about colostrum, which is colostrum. Not everyone knows what colostrum is. So we can talk about that. And then Immunolin is the trademarked raw ingredient of bovine serum immunoglobulin. So essentially coming from blood, right? So can we talk about why you are the only manufacturer of this bovine blood? And why? And for us, it honestly just depends on what we recommend. But if anyone has any issue with dairy, they really shouldn't have major issues with colostrum. But sometimes we'll just go, pretty much no one ever reacts negatively when we use bovine serum immunoglobulin. So will you talk about how this is made first?
Absolutely. It all starts with the upcycle of that cow. With our partnership with the USDA Prime Beef Society, the top 1% of cattle that are going to manufacturing for that fanciest steakhouse in Chicago or down in Orlando, those cattle that are going to manufacturing, essentially, they'd take the meat and then that cow would just go to waste. Essentially, my group saw that as an opportunity that there's a lot of amazing nutrients and a lot of different plasma fractions in that blood that can be utilized anything from vaccines, bilateral assays. And also, we take bovine serum albumin, some serums, and we get that super rich IgG that's in immunolin. And since it's derived from serum, it also makes it a dairy-free alternative to colostrum and a higher IgG concentration. That higher IgG concentration is a main player in being more polyclonal, just meaning it binds to more antigens or bad bacteria and essentially neutralize and remove them before they can set off that harmful response in the gut.
When did this all start? When did bovine serum immunoglobulins first come to market? When was this kind of discovered as, hey, we can use this piece of bovine blood for this?
I'm going to take you way back here, Krista. This initially was spray-dried plasma on hog feed in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. It was actually to help lower the mortality rate for mm-hmm. litter and also lower the spontaneous rate of abortion in pigs. Mm-hmm. And once they started seeing success of putting spray-dried plasma on their feed and helping them, again, produce a bigger litter, we were a growing economy, more people on this earth than ever, we knew we had to increase the food supply. As they dove into the science, why were they not losing as much, that 50% of their litter? Why are they having everyone in the litter? What in that plasma is causing that response? What's lowering that constant inflammation and leading to a higher litter count? And that's where the human clinical trial started around 2001. We had some amazing new data come out with patients with IBS, IBD, and showcasing safety and effectiveness to launch this as a prescription medical food in 2013. That prescription medical food is still being utilized by gastroenterologists nationwide for the dietary management of IBS, IBD, and HIV neuropathy. But all that product is 5 grams of immunolin. So if you had a 2.5 gram product at home and you took 2 scoops, essentially you're getting the medical food dosing to address maybe your IBS symptoms or your IBD symptoms.
Do you think this is still being used in pork production?
The prescription medical food?
The IgGs, which is where it all started in the 80s. Do you think they're still using it as a dried plasma?
Or absolutely. If you don't know, that's fine. That would most likely be coming from our sister company, APC, but still being added into anything from canine, equine, cat feed. There's so many different areas that spray-dried plasma is still being utilized.
Mm. Is that what it would say on a label by chance? If someone was ever looking at, would you ever see that on a food label for animals?
Yep, absolutely.
Interesting. Cool. So it's, I don't know if it's considered a baby. I feel like it's not really a baby. 2001 to 2013 when it hit the market. So it was first a prescription, 5 gram, yep. Right? Makes sense because yep. That's where the money is to bring something to market. So what yep. was the shift where it became more over the counter or supplement based where people could get it without a prescription?
Yeah, that shift? The shift really was being showcased in our data. We were seeing that new healthy tissue within the gut barrier. When constantly supplementing with this product for 5 grams a day, usually takes between 21 to 24 days to turn over that new healthy gut barrier and essentially contract back together. You didn't need to take essentially 5 grams of product the rest of your life. There was the opportunity for these patients to, one, save cost of the product, but also titrate down. Instead of needing that 5 grams a day, they could titrate down from 2.5 grams to 1 gram a day and still feel the optimal benefits and not have those common symptoms like diarrhea, bloating, and flatulence. So we went to the FDA in 2018 and explained, hey, look, all this product is a protein isolate that's super rich in IgG. There's no reason everyone in the world can't take this product. Mm-hmm. Since 2018, it has been available at a 2.5 gram and 1 gram dosing, and is truly, again, changing the way we manage gut barrier health. If we can help the most chronically inflamed population like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, we know we can help Mima, who maybe ate something bad on her trip to Cancun.
What are you from the South now? Thought we were Roman. Anyway, it just makes me laugh. She just brought up something I had no idea that was that recent, because my practice goes much before 2018. And I think I met Kron Krishnan, who's a microbiologist, past microbiologist for Microbiome Labs. They actually sold to a big company out of Europe last year, year before. I'm not sure when it was. It all is a blur. But I feel like I interviewed him in 2017. It may have been 2018. That was back when he had his flagship product, which was his probiotic, which is how he created that company. And then they added many other things. So big picture. And as a preface, no one sponsored this episode. I'm just a curious person. And this episode doesn't get to every question I have about labeling. Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But there are many labels. There are many products that have this raw ingredient in them, including Microbiome Labs Mega IgG 2000, SBI Protect. I cannot remember the rest of them, but there's at least three that are really commonly recommended. I feel like Orthomoleculars was around before Microbiome Labs. Does that sound right to you? How long have you been with the company?
I've been with the company since 2019.
Okay, got it. So do you know which one was first?
The first product to hit the mark would have been with Orthomolecular, SBI yeah. Protect, and soon again followed everyone else once they understood the science. I love that you pointed out Kron there. Kron really saw the science behind this product and how it works differently than a lot of other products we use to manage gut and immune health. While your prebiotics and probiotics essentially are feeding good bacteria, not a lot of things were targeting the underlying cause, that bad bacteria that causes inflammation. And he saw this as an amazing pipeline and amazing product to help bind and remove that bad bacteria, feed in the good bacteria, and essentially sandwich the problem in there.
It's all about the conversation of metabolic endotoxemia, of bad bacteria having all this garbage. So immunoglobulins or IgGs or bovine serum IgGs are a very gentle binding action. So if people are dealing with the most common area I deal with, I deal with the toxic burden coming of pathogen, bacteria, fungus, etc. But especially with mycotoxins, which are a mold biotoxin,
yeah.
People tend to need something like charcoal to bind that up. But immunoglobulins could be a really gentle version of a binder, actually. You said something off air about how this bovine immunoglobulin product is not systemic and stays in the gut. And my question is, how do you know that? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that would come back to a digestibility study where we wanted to showcase that this is non-systemic. Again, we're not trying to elevate IgG, IgE, IgM levels in the blood because that can lead to a handful of other areas. So in that digestibility study, we're just looking at and measuring the blood levels when supplementing with this product. So in that study, it's showcasing there is no elevation of the immunoglobulin levels in the blood. But there was also an aha moment in that study that actually led us to launch IBD trials. When we were measuring these patients' stools, we were also seeing bound antigens or bad bacteria that could only be found in a patient's colon. So it's just showcasing this isn't just working within the stomach or to the small intestine. The IgG does survive throughout the entire GI tract, binding, neutralizing, and removing the pathogens that cause that inflammation within the gut. So once we found those bound antigens that can only be found in the colon, it was a big aha moment for us to launch a lot of IBD data and a lot of IBD trials.
Mm. Okay, so I want to just underline something that you said that may not be clear to a listener, possibly. You don't want this to be a systemic product that's stimulating the immune system, even though that term or that phrase gets thrown around a lot. We're not really looking to stimulate the immune system all the time. In autoimmunity, the immune system is being elevated, stimulated. It's about immune homeostasis and resilience from if you get an attack coming in or if you get inflammation coming in, can it bounce back? That's how I think of it. And there are some huge thought leaders in the functional medicine space that are really rebounding on this discussion, especially mm-hmm. Jeff Bland. I'd gone to an all-day seminar with Jeff Bland talking about we're now trying to boost the immune system, which is just a misnomer. It's you know catchphrase. It's really we're trying to have immune homeostasis.
Yes.
So I'm just thinking through because I do this research. I'm just thinking about, I wonder if in this study, they're measuring somehow GI all the way through. And then they're also looking at maybe blood data to see if anything is elevated there. Do you know anything about how they measure this, how they looked at it?
Yeah, in measuring those patients' blood levels. I mentioned that in the study, just to showcase there is no immune reaction. There is no elevation of immunoglobulin in the blood, even though you're supplementing with immunoglobulins. That being non-systemic, and the reason we want it to be non-systemic is those antigens that if you did have a leaky gut and therefore would slip through and cause an immune reaction, We're trying to stop that from happening, but we're not trying to kill that bad bacteria. We're trying to bind, neutralize, and remove it like an antibody does, so it can't set off that response. Mm-hmm. And essentially, the body's natural reaction again is to turn over that new tissue to contract, help rebuild that gut barrier wall. And essentially, we want the product to be non-systemic because we don't want to cause an immune response. That non-systemic study was to make sure that's the case, to make sure when we supplement with immunoglobulin, it's not elevating the immunoglobulin levels in our blood. So as we bind, neutralize, and remove those antigens or that bad bacteria that then would cause an inflammatory response, by removing them, we keep the gut at homeostasis. We don't set off an inflammatory response. And if we do have a leaky gut, by binding and removing what was causing that inflammation, you're giving the gut barrier a chance to turn over that new tissue, to contract back together and rebuild a healthy gut. And essentially, once we do that, that also aids in an uptake of nutrients like water, protein, and everything that helps us live a healthier, happier life.
Yeah, I think something that you said earlier that I want to touch on is that this turnover, this improvement happens around that 3-week mark-ish. Yep. And so I think that this is an important underlining point, because sometimes people say, can I just go on this and stay on it forever? I don't think there's any harm in going on this particular product. I do have concerns about going on some products, many products forever, to be honest. But this product, there's not really a concern. But to me, I like to see, and I think this is hopefully really welcomed by certain people who've just been on supplements. Anytime someone's been on a supplement, just ongoing for years, my question is, do you know how you feel on it? Do you know how you feel off of it? And I think it's nice to see we feel like off to see what our baseline is.
Yeah.
Do you have any feelings about that? Because so often I will say, and I guess you're the raw material, so I feel like you're somewhat less of a salesman than if I had a supplement company directly on here. Because my thought is there's no point on just being on this perpetually forever. It's cycled in. So just curious if you have differing thoughts there.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say for the healthy age population, like we were talking about Mima, who maybe ran into some type of food poisoning or something she came across while she
That's
was
important.
Traveling. This is a product that maybe a month, 2 months of taking the supplement, it's maybe going to get rid of that antigen that was causing the response and help the gut barrier rebuild itself. So maybe for her, it is a 1 to 2 month treatment. Now, we know for our chronically inflamed population, those that maybe have Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, or IBS symptoms, they tend to stay on the product a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. I know we've been actually managing one lady who's been taking this product since 2013, where she started out 20 grams a day.
Oh, woof.
And the whole idea was the more you take of the product, the more antibodies bind antigens. So after that first year, she could go from 20 grams to 10 grams to 5 grams. And today, when she still calls us, she's taking a 0.5 gram every other day. Just showcasing, maybe this is helping address what she keeps coming in contact with, but it's her body's ultimate fight or flight. It is SEAL Team 6. It is running through her GI tract, binding and removing an antigen so it can't set off a potential response and get her back to having those symptoms.
Yeah.
So for some, it is a lifestyle. But again, we rebuild that gut barrier. Essentially, these people getting back to a healthier, happier life, it doesn't have to be a lifestyle.
And there's different ways to do everything, to be honest. People don't have to use immunolin to rebuild gut barrier. There are other things. There are things that are creating that dysfunction in their immune barrier. But if you hear this and you think you've had long-term gut issues, I will just tell you it's a really powerful tool. And I always used to joke, if I'm on a deserted island and I can only bring 5 things, I'd like this. Maybe I'm not really exposed to things, but you brought up a good point that if grandma's traveling and she picks up a pathogenic bacteria, this is like the literally perfect thing in an acute immune or a food poisoning type situation. This is literally supporting the mechanisms that fight off that pathogenic organism. That's how I consider it. That's how I was taught it. And this is, and I would say that human behavior is that we forget to do things when we're sick or down and out. And this is the thing I use during illness or down and out. Or if you can use it before you're down and out, it's a huge helper for not getting sick or reducing long-term reducing colds, cold duration, et cetera. I've seen this work many times.
To speak on like traveling. So personally, for myself, I do take 2.5 grams of this product every day. Again, just to limit any type of bacteria or any type of pathogen that I come in contact with that could cause a bad response. I would just like to address it head on. Now, when I travel, I actually do take 2 scoops of 2.5 grams a day, just because I'm meeting new people, I'm eating new foods, maybe pathogens I've never ran across. And I would just like to use, again, my SEAL Team 6 here, my serum IgG, to bind, neutralize, and remove any of those inflammatory pathogens before they can set off a response.
Do you get a good deal on it, Mac?
I do get a good deal on it. Essentially, I can head up to the plant and just get a scoop myself.
I just teasing on purpose, of course. So I have many more questions, but one thing I want to make sure we address here, we were talking about how they found that this bovine serum IgG stayed within the gut and did not become systemic. And that was the kind of plea to the FDA. How can we get this to become an over-the-counter product?
Yep.
Off air, I'm just going to give this a little bit of lip service, something I'm still interested in because of people I know with autoimmune conditions. And so when people have autoimmune conditions, a common intervention is IV or intravenous immunoglobulin therapy. I have a prescription insert next to me, and Mac and I were talking offline about this is under somewhat of the same umbrella, but it's different. So we're talking here about bovine derived serum immunoglobulins and how they have the market on this. I hope they're doing a good job. And then the immunoglobulin prescription product that I'm looking at is a human derived immunoglobulin, and that is meant to be systemic, we think, to stimulate immune function for those people. I know very little about that, and I want to know much more about how it's derived, where it comes from. And I have an understanding that it's even, like many things, it's like on the surface, it's called IV immunoglobulin, but underneath the surface, it can vary. And so I know that the sources of this have changed and the prescription sources. So anyway, just an interesting conversation. If anyone knows any immunologist who can speak about human-derived IgGs, please reach out to me. Back to bovine IgGs for now, and ones that stay in the gut. So a couple things. I can't hold myself back from this question. You reminded me that I heard some murmurings that Canada was making immunoglobulins illegal.
Canada was making immunoglobulins illegal?
Yeah, like you couldn't buy these over the counter in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. What is going on? Canada right now, unlike the United States, the word immunoglobulin up there is known as a drug. While here, it's known as a supplement, or you can supplement with the product. So I know there's things moving around right now up in Canada of the best way to position the ingredient, because it is an immunoglobulin, but if it's backed by over 45 human clinical trials, all focused on the microbiome, on safety and efficacy, there's no reason this shouldn't be approved everywhere around the world. So with Canada, I think there's just more time to come that if they are going to keep that immunoglobulin as a drug, or if there's a way to administer it there as a protein, because it is a protein isolate. Essentially, when you take 2 grams of this product, you're getting 2 grams of protein. You're just getting the added benefit of that IgG in there as well. That's going to bind and remove that bad bacteria.
Did they just make a ruling on that last year that kind of halted sales? Do you know the back end?
Not that I know much of. That might be a better question for Brian.
Yeah.
My director or my VP of sales internationally.
Yeah, that's no problem. It's just sometimes you don't know that's happening, and then you encounter it and you think, how in the world could this be not approved in that place? Now, we were talking a little bit about dosing, and I think this will come into play when we talk about colostrum versus bovine. So you have mentioned that 5 grams is a medical food. And I'm just thinking out loud right now, because when I pull colostrums off the shelf, there's 5 grams usually of weight in those scoops. When you are pulling one of these other common supplements off the shelf, is there just like 1 gram per scoop? How much is a normal recommendation from the supplement companies that sell your raw material?
Probably one of the most underrated nutrients I use in practice is potassium. Low potassium can be a huge factor in energy, relapsing gut issues, thyroid function, and even regulating blood pressure. Now, your blood test for potassium will look normal most of the time. Otherwise, you'd feel faint and maybe like you're going to pass out. But your tissue levels of potassium will decline with an increase of the stress hormone cortisol. Big picture, I find it's just really hard for humans to get enough food-based potassium in their diet unless they live in a tropical place. And I'm usually recommending my clients get at least 4,000 milligrams of food-based potassium per day. That's why I really commonly recommend Jigsaw's Pickleball Cocktail to help my clients. It's one of the only electrolyte products on the market with a hefty dose of potassium at 800 milligrams per scoop, when most electrolyte products only have about 200 milligrams, making it really hard to reach those high doses of food-based potassium I recommend per day. Plus, it's automatically the best choice if my client is dealing with swelling, which can be related to imbalances of sodium and potassium in the tissue. I'm a potassium evangelist, and Jigsaw's Pickleball Cocktail is one of my most used tools of the trade. You can get a discount on any of Jigsaw's amazing products, including Pickleball, at jigsawhealth.com with the code LessStressed10. That's three S's, LessStressed10.
Yeah, I would say the standard dosing everyone is leaning towards is 2 and 2.5 grams, just because it gives you the option. If you are a practitioner out there and you're utilizing this for someone who previously had BS symptoms or IBD, Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, it's great to have the option to just take that extra scoop for a month to help relieve and remove all those pathogens and get them back to living.
Yeah.
But we do have clinical efficacious data, even at 1 gram and up, it is effective. A trial we did at the University of North Texas in a healthy age population where we took college kids and we gave them a high fat diet, which was 2 slices of Tombstone pizza. Didn't have too many of them that said no to that. And then we measured their blood levels to showcase what the high-fat diet does in your blood. So we measured LPS, a common inflammatory pathogen that causes a lot of response, leading to leaky gut, dietary endotoxemia, and a lot of other issues. And once they take a high-fat diet, LPS in their blood skyrockets. We then had them supplement with Immunolin SBI for 45 consecutive days at 1 gram, 2 grams, and 4 grams a day. We then gave them that high-fat diet on day 45, measured their blood levels, and it showcased LPS barely even grew. So as we continuously supplement with this product, we bind and remove antigens like LPS, but we also bind H. pylori, Candida albicans, gliadin, common indicator for gluten sensitivity. As we continuously bind and remove those pathogens, it leads to a stronger turnover of healthy tissue, a quicker turnaround, and therefore limiting opportunity of any pathogen causing a response. That leads to a healthier gut barrier.
Yeah, you're reducing the toxic burden or the metabolic or the gut-mediated toxic burden. And I think that's why people need different doses. If you've got a disease process like IBD or Crohn's and colitis, your overall mess in your gut is more significant than someone Absolutely. That doesn't have that diagnosis, obviously. I actually saw that research presented by Karan at a conference. Now that I think, I did not know that there was 1, 2, and 4 gram interventions. I don't remember that piece, but I do remember the college kids and the high fat diet and the reduction of the toxic burden load after people were on it. It's like they're overall reducing their toxic burden load. So then when they're eating a bunch of Tombstone pizza, it's not as offensive to the body. And I think that's, I have this statement I say to clients a lot, like, just be more supportive than aggravating. You'll stay on the right side of the teeter-totter. Like, it's when we go overboard on our aggravation where things really overflow and create kind of these chronic, long-standing things. And so just be more supportive than aggravating, which what you're saying, a little more support. Like, if you know you're doing, and that's my thought, it's if you understand the pieces, you can do a lot of things. Like, you don't have to live this immaculate life where you've never eaten a slice of pizza. That's absolutely not necessary, technically, depending on how you want to live. Everyone can do whatever they want, but I just like everything. I like all of it.
Always good in proportions. I understand why people are leaning towards these elimination diets. It's eliminating certain foods that their body, they figure out, oh, this is causing a negative response here, or this is causing a negative response here. And if you had a rock in your shoe, you wouldn't take a ton of Tylenol to get rid of the pain. Mm-hmm. You just take off your shoe, get the rock out of there, and you'd be on your way. That's what we're trying to do here with Immunolin. We're trying to address those antigens that cause that response. And therefore, later on, we don't get that harmful symptom.
And just to reiterate what you already said, just to make it ultra, ultra clear, when you increase LPS in the blood, you're increasing the fishnet tight effect on the gut. And when you have the fishnet tights instead of the nylons, you have these larger proteins going through, which cause the food sensitivities. And so my whole shtick is let's not avoid foods forever, because most people, like, ultimately, that's not a long game approach at all. And it's a little archaic, to be honest. 10, 15.
We had a doctor that this might have been the best, one of the better ways that I've heard this explained. You're talking about fishnets. Mm-hmm. He explained it like throwing a golf ball through a volleyball net. Mm-hmm. You throw it against that volleyball net, it's going to slip through every time. Now, what antibodies do is they bind, increase the overall size of that golf ball and make it more of a volleyball. So when it's thrown against that volleyball net, it bounces right back and can't cause that response.
Interesting analogy.
That was a heck of an analogy there.
Yeah, cool. All right, let's circle back to the difference between colostrum and bovine immunoglobulins.
So colostrum, IgG, it's going to be the same mechanism of action, essentially bind and remove the bad guys. Colostrum is going to be derived from the mother's milk or that cow's milk. And in there, it's going to have that IgG concentration like immunoglobulin. The difference between the two is we derive ours from the plasma instead of the milk. And there's a reasoning behind it. When you derive from the plasma, you get a higher IgG concentration that binds to more. And it's a much more closed loop process that we also get a super clean protein isolate backed IgG concentration. So much cleaner, much higher IgG concentration. And when it comes to clinical, it's showcased to bind over 46 different types of antigens that are most commonly found within the gut.
So when you are making this raw material, which is trademarked by the name immunoglobulin, is there any testing after the creation or during the creation of the raw material that's interesting? Let me give you an example. So often when we're talking about supplements, we're looking for cross-contamination for different things. Anytime you're dealing with anything, cattle, whatever, you would almost think that the product could vary maybe depending on the sourcing or what's going on with that animal. So is there any way, how do you create such a consistent product? Is there any testing that's done at the end that always gets done? Is there any possibility that there's anything, is there a reason you'd throw something out?
Yeah. So we test the product 6 separate times from the day it's extracted. So from the time at the manufacturing site until it is transported to our manufacturers, until we start to centrifuge that plasma and pull out, it's measured 6 separate times to make sure there's no antibiotics, no hormones, no pesticides, no soy, no dairy, all these different areas. We make sure none of that is in the product and that we push a consistent, clean product every time you take that IgG.
So earlier we were talking about how this all started in prescription, and you didn't really, I don't think, mention it, but apparently the prescription name might be Enterogam. Enterogam, is that what you said?
Enterogam.
Enterogam. I am not a GI doctor, so I don't have prescribing capabilities. I haven't ever had a client come in to me on Enterogam that I know of. Are there other names for this? And do you know? I'm just curious because I like to know these things.
Yeah. Here in the States, it would be listed as Enterogam. Again, it's utilized by gastroenterologists nationwide, but maybe not utilized by your registered dietitian who can just get the same thing in supplement form in that bottle.
Right.
Internationally, there would be another product. It's the exact same ingredient. It's called Nutrigamix, and it's approved in other countries.
Do you know by chance what the cost is of the prescription version?
Yeah, for the prescription version, you're looking at about 115 for a 30-day supply at 5 grams a day. So 30 cents a shake, gram a day.
That's not bad. Yeah. Impressive. That's good. I was expecting it to be much more inflated. If anyone's on Enterogam, let me know if that's what your insurance is getting billed, 115, or if it's getting billed like 1,000, which I feel like sometimes happens. I'm just always curious about what actually happens behind the scenes.
So the issue with medical foods around 2017, Big Pharma made a mission for medical foods not to be covered well by insurance. Mm. So that's where we took insurance completely out of the issue. We have translocated all of our business to one mail order pharmacy called Transition Pharmacy Services, where they ship from that facility and they can guarantee that 115 price. Mm. So you're not going to get this prescription sent to your CVS or Walgreens. You're going to get it mail order from TPS. And you can also visit the Enterogam.com page and order this product directly online.
Oh, you don't need a prescription.
Nope.
Interesting. Very interesting. I was just thinking, like, it probably doesn't reach as many people as it could, in my opinion. That would just be a guess I would have.
Yep.
Do you focus, where do you think that at the parent company that you work for, where do you think you guys focus your efforts? A little bit of everywhere? Pharmaceutical, supplement? Are you trying to get into more white labeling? What's going on behind the scenes?
I would say with Enterogam on that kind of pharmaceutical side, we know it's run its course and it's a consistent, great product, but we need to utilize the great minds like Karan Krishnan to truly push the message of immunoglobulin and how it truly is changing the way we manage gut health. I say that a lot, but it takes those maybe influencer types or those that we look up to in the market to utilize a product. I would say the nutrition side, dietary supplements, has been a huge focus for us the past 3 years. We've seen consistent growth and the education and the understanding of how Immunolin works has really grown on that side.
Cool. If Immunolin's ever looking to sponsor a podcast, I'm here to make jokes about that.
So I can ask Mr. Marketing about that.
That sounds good. All right, so today we talked a little bit about colostrum versus IgGs. We talked about dosing. We talked about common dosing in the supplements at that. I think it was 1 to 2-ish, 2 grams per scoop.
Yep.
I think dosing is always relevant, important. I personally don't really think you can overdo immunoglobulin dosing. It's just not an issue to me. Maybe
it's just the protein.
Maybe your stool would move. For a lot of people, that's really good for them. Not the end of the world. We talked just a little bit about that behind the scenes, how it's made, how it's tested. We talked about how it stays in the gut and how that was discovered. We talked about some of the studies and the antibodies it impacting. Anything else you think we missed today in our conversation about Immunolin?
Exciting new data coming in.
Go for it.
You mentioned mycotoxins. With it being immunoglobulin, we actually don't know the full capabilities of all the different pathogens and antigens it binds. So there could be some pathogens that down the road we're going to want to test because they're more abundant. One of those was a mycotoxin or a carcinogenic aflatoxin, where we showcase the ability to bind to 2 known carcinogenic aflatoxins that can be found in our food.
Yeah, really commonly found in our food, unfortunately. That's what I see on testing. I really waffle on how much mycotoxin testing I do, but when I do, you'd be surprised at how significant the food-based mycotoxins are. And then there's probably a percentage of the population. The numbers here are said one way and then said it other way. So I'm not going to give numbers, but there's always a percentage of the population that's not going to metabolize these things very well. So they're going to be, that's why it's going to affect someone more than others. And so I have a lot of feelings about education around that topic, but it's in general, our life is not toxin free. It never will be. So I like the mechanism of action for bovine immunoglobulins. They've been really helpful. I had no idea that they were only in supplements since 2018. So I would say I've been on top of it since the beginning. We've been using them since the beginning of time with wonderful success, dosing however I feel like it. Sometimes using lab data to support how much it needs to be supported, sometimes not. But it's definitely something that's a huge part of our toolbox all the time. So thanks for letting me grill you on some of that behind the scenes stuff. And again, if anyone is listening who knows any immunologists who know anything about systemic immunoglobulins, I'm here for that conversation too. I love the nerdy conversations. Mac, thank you for coming on today and for getting a little bit nerdy with me. I can tell that you love your job. Is there a special story on how you got this job, or did you have gut health issues, or do you have any personal heart pulling story for us that you want to share before we wrap?
I would say when I was attending college, I always had a drive to work in an agricultural setting, knowing that this company basically upcycles any type of animal there is in the market. It just seemed like the perfect fit for me. And they're doing it all for the right reason. We're not doing this to push these broad spectrum antibiotics that's going to deteriorate with everything within the GI tract. What you have here is a product that just targets the bad stuff, binds it up and removes it. So then our body can naturally turn over that new tissue, like I've mentioned, and we can all get back to living a healthier, happier life. So a reason I love it is I know I'm doing everything for the right reason. This is truly helping people get back to living better and helping relieve all their symptoms.
Thanks so much for coming on today. And where can people find, you're not a retail facing company, but if people are curious about this topic, is there any place that they should go to learn more?
Yeah, I would visit thb1.com, our company's website. You can get a better understanding of all the other raw materials we provide in the market, and specifically dive in on some amazing clinical work on Immunolin and some upcoming exciting new COVID-19 data.
Cool. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks, Krista.
Sharing and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help us succeed with our mission to help integrate the best of East and West and empower you to raise the bar on your health story. Just go to reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life. That's reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life, and you'll be taken directly to a page where you can insert your review and hit post.